We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Ricardo Navas. And with me today, we have our statistician and photoshopper, Christian Hernandez. Christian, good morning on this wonderful Monday.
Luca, Luca. Let's go through it. Everybody's doing it. Let's go. Luca.
Luca.
I'm feeling good, man.
We got to get this going at the AAA when Luca comes. Shout out to chat. Shout out to our Twitch audience here on twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat. Just Say May says, Johnny, miss you, brother. I miss you guys, too. It's been a while since I've been on a pod. I was on a little bit of a vacation. My voice is hoarse. I'm ready to go. I went to see some friends, and I'm excited. I'm excited to get back into this. And we were gifted something from the gods. We love content. And The Athletic dropped a story this morning about Luka Doncic and the Mavericks organization and how he's unhappy with some things. So we're kind of going to go through that. We're going to push an agenda. A couple things I want to say. Remember, do subscribe to our Patreon page, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat for all the goodies that we have going on there. Remember, we're still doing our Hangover Time post-game show throughout the playoffs. So check them out. I mean, Alpha and the crew, Brass, everybody, we're still doing Hangover Times on Tuesdays and Friday. So we actually have a set schedule for the rest of the playoffs. Tuesday and Friday up until the finals. And then once the finals start, we'll have a more like, you know, we'll do like specific games or whatever. But Tuesday, Friday, so you get a Tuesday show and then a drip drop Friday, and then Miami Heat Beat's going to be on Monday and Wednesday. So your schedule is going to be really, you know, kind of stream content Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we'll do extra locker room sessions on Thursday and Tuesday. So that's kind of a little bit of housekeeping for what's going on Heat Beat. I got Christian here because, you know, we're really here to push an agenda. Shout out to Clear VVV for the tier one sub. That is something that we thank you guys very much for supporting us and everything that we do here. We love that. We love you guys, and we love the community around the show is absolutely incredible. Just Say Maze pretty much starts us off in the place I want to go to right now, Christian. Goran Dragic is the most untouchable person in the organization right now. So let's give a little backstory as to what's going on, right? So so Luka Doncic and Bob Vulgaris, who is a famous like NBA gambler who works for the Mavericks in kind of like a consulting position, right? But Bob Vulgaris is, if you know of Bob Vulgaris, either his Twitter personality or just any media that he's done, just who he is, kind of thinks he's the smartest dude in the fucking room. That's kind of his MO. So Bob Vulgaris is in this consulting role. Mark Cuban and him kind of connect. I mean, listen, this tech gambling Bitcoin bro and Mark Cuban, that's a match made in fucking heaven. So they connect. He starts working for the organization in some sort of consulting role. And Vulgaris, you know, in this story in The Athletic by Sam Amick and Tim Cotto, it's kind of shown that he has a bit more pull in the organization than his actual job title. He's influenced a lot of decisions in the organization. He's in Mark Cuban's ear, which is really important. And kind of been getting on Luka's bad side. Luka doesn't like him. He's courtside in games. The article kind of gives some anecdotes and specific moments where Luka feels like he's disrespectful. He doesn't like him. Thinks, you know, all the shit that you would think of Bubble Gears, right? So Luka's upset. And the art, listen, let's be realistic here. I don't think that Luka Doncic is going to come to Miami. I don't. I mean, the article says he's probably gonna. All reports point to him signing the Supermax extension. But Christian here, and I are
Miami
here
somehow. I'm not sure how they're gonna do it. I don't think Miami's allowed to do it, but they're gonna find a way. Don't worry.
They always get in the room, and everybody, you know, people may get mad that we do shows on every fucking free agent available. But they always get in the fucking room and they're always in the conversation. So this is a generational star who's friends with a Heat lifer in Goran Dragic. Chat saying, what the fuck, G, bringing realism into our Luka Doncic fan fiction trade. Of course, yeah. So, Christian,
What else are we supposed to be doing here?
Like, this is the news of the day.
Like, let's enjoy this day I'm going to be interested to see what chat has to offer in terms of suggestions here. But like, let's say you're a Mavericks fan. What is your argument right now? If you had to convince Luka to sign a long-term deal in Dallas, what is your pitch? I would just love to know what it is. Because is it the city? Absolutely fucking not. I've only spent like 3 days in Dallas, but holy fuck, it is just an urban wasteland with nothing to do. It was borderline depressing. And like, you're in the middle of Texas. Like, you're not near any water, nothing. You're not in a city that people want to be in. You're not going to in a city that's going to market you well. Like, so then you look within the organization. What do the Mavericks have to offer? Oh, just a decades-long culture of being totally fine with sexual harassment. Like, and that's the kind of people that you want to like hang your hat on. Like, obviously, you know, they're always going to throw out, you know, how well they treated Dirk and how, you know, he was incredible there for that long. But I want to argue that Dirk is a rare dude. And especially these days, like players having the context and the knowledge of seeing all these recent stars and the power that they've been able to exude, everybody wants power. Like, even if they ultimately know what they want to do, they want the power to have influence and attention. So it's like, I don't know. Like, who's going to make that argument? I would love to hear the argument. It's like, somebody really sell it to me because I feel like it doesn't exist.
They have not won a playoff series since the championship in 2011. Miami.
Yeah, I didn't even mention that.
Miami, like, has made the final since.
Busts.
Was a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals another year. So, I mean, the franchises have completely different success rates, and the Heat obviously have, you know, a lot more. They have a lot more champagne and banners and parades than Dallas has had. You know, Christian, Miami can get into this. How deep should we go? Miami can get in any trade conversation for any player of the year because they have a piece that trumps mostly anybody.
Here, Gianni, let's do something fun. You want to have the conversation of what would the Luka Doncic trade package look like? Let's say perfect scenario on the short term is what? That he does not sign any kind of extension. And when would he be a free agent?
Luka's about to sign. So it's a little complicated because he can do the qualifying offer. He can reject a qualifying offer. He can, it really, like, how soon can he be a free agent? Or what's realistic for him to be a free agent? Because,
well, like, let's say, what's the worst case scenario for the Mavericks? Like, he doesn't sign an extension. When do they lose control?
2022, 2023. That's when his qualifying offer is. And then 2022, just total. If he just 2022, unrestricted free agency. So if he rejects, so it's tough. He'd have to ask out.
I mean, so that means they could realistically be in a situation in the short term where they might feel like they have to trade him if they feel like they're going to lose him for nothing, which would be insane.
Well, I mean, he'd be a restricted free agent, so it's tough. But you can do
match any contract.
I think if you reject the qualifying offer, then you can enter unrestricted free agent. So you just shoot yourself in the foot and cause yourself a lot of money. So you can be an unrestricted free agent, but there's not a lot of precedent for that.
Why does it cost them a lot of money if they do that?
Yeah. That's why nobody does it.
No, why? I'm saying why.
Because you reject that qualifying. That is one thing of the salary cap that I don't know.
Otherwise, like that's the thing I'm a little confused about.
That's one thing about the salary cap I'm not 100% sure of, but I do know that guys
talking about the salary cap with no experts on the show.
Well, no, I mean I typically like know about the cap, but I do. That's one thing. So it's qualifying offers
for experts, Gian.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. I'm a moderate intellectual on the. On the side. No, but it's something that players don't do a lot of, and there's been kind of conversations about, hey, at some point people are not going to do this anymore, right? At some point guys are just going to say, I want the freedom, fuck it, right? Because teams have really used that as a cushion for a long time, and that's kind of been the argument that one day somebody's going to say, fuck it, I'm going to eat the money and I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, and I would love to know something, Gianni. I would love to know if Luka talks to LeBron at all. And if he does, I wonder if he's asked him if he regrets like staying the full 7 years in Cleveland before going somewhere else, if that was even an option. Because like, especially now,
they don't sound like they're homies though.
I know, right? Definitely not. That's why it's just like, is the only person that I feel like that can relate to Luka in terms of like, especially like international star, like it's got to be LeBron, right? And like the quick rise in terms of like their talent.
Steph too.
But Steph didn't get there that quick.
No, it was not that quick. LeBron walked in.
11. I mean, he also had injuries. He had like that ankle injury that just kept like, you know, holding him down.
Durant, but he's not as famous. Durant doesn't have the fame that these other. Luka might be more famous than KD, really. I mean, internationally. I mean, kind of the. I mean, Luka's just.
Yeah, but even still, was KD this good? And like, this?
Yeah, KD walked in. And, I mean, by year three, the dude was, you know, in the MVP conversation, right? Even year two, I mean, he was absolutely insane. I mean,
This is Luka's third year. But yeah, no, but still, I mean, within 3 years, putting up 27-8-8. Like
Clutch Adam in the chat says Kristaps is teaching Luka the ways of restricted free agency loopholes. That's really the next step of player empowerment. It's really getting around restricted free agency. And Christian, I mean, that might be something that's interesting in the next collective bargaining agreement, like how the players kind of negotiate around restricted free agency, because I can't imagine that they like it very much.
Definitely not. I mean, like, especially now that they've seen the amount of power they can seize, why wouldn't they want to seize more? Like they're going to fight for a lot more power in the next CBA, I promise you.
I think all things point to Luka, you know, taking his Supermax contract, taking the money, being there. It's not a bad situation. Dallas doesn't get a lot of free agents. They get more than other markets. They're a medium free agent market. I think generally their front office is pretty okay. If they fire Bob Vulgaris, they'll be fine, right? So there's
fucking
nothing.
Sell me on Dallas, though. Anybody? Has anybody in the chat tried to make a sales pitch for Dallas? Because it doesn't fucking exist. Like, well, honestly, damn. Like, we should have brought, like, somebody, like, is Mavericks Twitter even a thing? Like, that's my point. Who gives a fuck about the Mavericks? Why the fuck would you want to play for the Mavericks?
I mean, their cap situation's not great moving forward. It almost reminds me a little bit of Portland. I mean, they're going to have some salary cap flexibility coming up, but it's tough for them to use that in free agency. They could absorb it in trades. They have that Porzingis contract. He has a player option at the end for $36 million. They're going to have some cap space coming up, but the free agent market's a little dry. So I don't know. It's not a bad situation, Christian. I mean, again, they're going to have a little flexibility. They do have this massive contract that's burning a hole in their pocket, that if they trade it, it's going to be lateral, like a Kemba Walker, Kristaps Porzingis swap, something. It's going to look like that, right? Kristaps for John Wall, like those kinds of lateral moves of just like these bloated contracts. And you're just trying to fit a guy who didn't play well in your system. Oladipo might be something that they go after with their cap space, right? They might just throw money at Oladipo and try to, you know, figure something out like that. So they're not a bad situation. I do think it's pretty crazy how they haven't won a playoff series since 2011. I mean, if there are some social aspects, I do think that kind of, you know, being a white star in Dallas, I think that that's like a marketing thing for him too. I don't know if that's something that he's thought of as well. Like, it's just, it'd be different in other cities for him. I don't know.
Johnny, sorry, it seems like we have some breaking news that just broke. The NBA announced the 2020-2021 NBA All-Defensive Teams.
Okay, what do we got?
And for first team, we've got Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, Draymond Green, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Drew Holiday. Huh. On the second team, we have a couple of hometown favorites. Bam and Jimmy are both on the second team, joined by Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybul, and Kawhi Leonard.
Read me that first team again.
First team is Rudy, deserved. Ben, eh. Draymond, deserved. Giannis, deserved. And Drew.
I'm not in on Drew. And I know that Jimmy was eligible at guard. Jimmy was... See, I... Miami's defense this year was better than Milwaukee's.
Yeah. So, Gianni, I'm not clear on the rules. Like, do they still have certain positional requirements?
But Jimmy was guard and forward. Jimmy qualified for both.
So, and I'm assuming Ben Simmons was also guard and forward?
Yeah. So, okay. I'm not mad at Ben. I mean, I think Jimmy was the best perimeter defender in the sport last season. I legit believe that. I've said this before. I think Jimmy had a better defensive season than Bam. I thought Jimmy had a Kawhi-level defensive season where, remember when you could not dribble around Kawhi because he would take the ball from you? Jimmy was like that, but with passes.
No, that is still one of the most, like, unbelievable statistical things that I'll never forget, was that Kawhi Leonard was such an incredible defender that teams started to strategically go always away from him no matter who he was guarding. And it started happening that the Spurs were worse with Kawhi Leonard on the court defensively than off the court. And it was purely because their strategy of avoiding him was doing better than the Spurs were when he was off the court, which was one of the most hilarious things I've ever remembered.
It's almost like a great, like, you know, cornerback, like how, like, they just get avoided. They're just not even targeted. Like, their side of the field's just not even touched.
But shit, if you can go the other way and it fucking works, you just keep doing the same shit.
Jimmy this season on defense was an absolute like a wrecking ball. You could not pass the ball around him because he was either getting a hand on or a deflection. Jimmy at the nail was just a monster this season. Miami's defense absolutely changed when he got healthy and they started using him to kind of stunt the drive and then close out on shooters. Because remember, earlier in the season, they were bleeding corner threes like no tomorrow. And that really got corrected when they started using Jimmy as that closeout. So Jimmy would stunt in on drives because their guards are always getting beat, right? And Miami's defensive situation is really fucked up because their guards couldn't stay in front of anybody. So their defense was all... A lot of teams don't like to get in rotation, right? Like, when you get another team in rotation, they're usually fucked. Miami thrives in rotation because their best defenders are always the ones rotating because their bad ones are on the ball, right? So Tyler, Goran, Nunn, all these guys are just getting killed off the dribble. And, you know, because they don't drop, it's not Bam kind of in front. It's usually off switches and stuff like that. And now you're Bam and Jimmy are flying around wrecking shit. So I don't agree with Drew Holiday. Drew's metrics are all bad, Chris. If you look at, like, expected field goal percentage, Drew's just like his opponents were just torching him. Now, that could be a little bit of bad luck. That could be a little bit of the Bucks not knowing really how to run these kind of newer defensive schemes because they just weren't in their base drop all year. I really think Will Scott in chat says Jimmy was robbed of first team. I agree. I think he deserved it over Drew Holiday. I think he deserved it over Ben Simmons, but that's just a losing battle. Ben had the public support. I am happy him and Bam did get second team. I Bam was not going to get first team over Rudy Gobert. Just wasn't, you know.
Obviously Rudy Gobert, I mean, he won Defensive Player of the Year. Of course, he was going to be on the first team. The guy who I thought he may have been able to get in over was Draymond, but ultimately the Warriors had the better defense.
No, and so, Draymond was absolutely brilliant this year, and everybody...
And that is in no way trying to understate how brilliant still to this day Draymond is defensively. It's just that if there was anybody that would have put him over, it probably would have been Draymond because their team was middling, but they still had a great defense.
I think Drew is a guy on first team that I'm just like, and that might just be a reputation thing that Drew's just getting in off the rep. But I mean, second team for Jimmy and Bam, that's still good. And Embiid deserved. Thybul, you know, Thybul has the minutes thing. He probably deserves it, but I mean, I just don't like giving it to a guy that plays as few minutes as he does. It's tough. And part of that is just his offense doesn't let him kind of get on the floor more, right? Like, if he was a better offensive player, he would have the minutes. So, but maybe that's not fair.
there's no denying the impact he makes when he is in. It's like, it's one of those things where I totally get, you know, you're the spirit of your argument, but I feel like he might be one of the few exceptions where he is still deserving to me.
Kawhi snuck in. I didn't know if Kawhi would make it this year, but Kawhi snuck in.
I mean, he's still that guy, you know, like, were the Clippers a good defensive team? I'm assuming they were, right?
Their offense was what was really good. Their defense, I mean, it wasn't his fault. He was good defensively this season. I just didn't know. People are mad because Bridges got robbed. Jack in chat says OG got robbed. I don't disagree with that. OG was really good, but
yeah, I mean,
Tybalt's not a bad pick. Tybalt's.
I think Kawhi getting it. Maybe it's just because he's the best defender in LA. maybe it's as simple as that. But
so yeah. The Lakers had the number one defense in the league and don't have anybody.
That is pretty fascinating.
So Jack and I actually had a conversation, Christian, earlier, and Jack said that Lakers are going to get votes for NBA, like KCP or somebody might get in, or Kuzma or something, just because they're the Lakers, right? They're the LA team, and they had the number one defense.
Wouldn't it be? I feel like what's the guy that everybody made annoying?
Caruso.
Caruso yeah.
Got nine second
like
team
probably
votes.
Probably their best defender, if we're being real.
So like, he got five votes for all defensive second team. KCP got two. Dennis Schroeder, for some reason, got two. That's really weird. I'm surprised that Kuzma didn't. I thought Kuzma probably deserves it a little bit.
I was gonna say, Kuzma definitely made a leap this season defensively. Yeah. Like,
kind of weird that Mike Conley only got one vote. Mitchell got one. Westbrook for some reason got a second team vote. That just doesn't feel right.
Was the Wizards defense not terrible?
It was bad. Like, yeah, I don't understand that. Funny enough, Anthony Davis did give votes, even though he barely played in the season.
Oh, well, I mean, okay. A lot of people, and it's fair, see rebounding as an aspect of defense, and Russ is getting triple doubles every night. So I guess that's probably the argument for it.
It's really interesting. So Bam got in as a forward, right, as opposed to Embiid, who is the center. I think Embiid was also eligible at forward and center.
Wait, they're still using a center position? I thought yeah. It was all guard forward now.
No, it's guard. It's two guards, two forwards, two one big. So Bam and Embiid were both eligible at forward and center, which is also the case for all NBA, which makes it very, very interesting because you have the all NBA centers, Gobert, Bam, Embiid, and Jokic. So that's four. So if Bam is going to get in, it's because he's going to sneak in as a forward, right? Because I'm, despite me thinking that Bam's a better player than Rudy Gobert, Rudy's going to have the wave, especially off his depoy season and everything. So I don't know if Bam makes it without being a forward. So it's tough. I mean, he has a chance of being an All-NBA third team. It makes it tough for him because some of those other guys are eligible at forward. Jokic is eligible at forward and center. Embiid is eligible at forward and center, which is a little weird. Bam as well. I think Bam, out of any of those guys, probably makes more sense because he does play power forward at times. Not a lot, but he has Jimmy at guard and at curious, Christian, if Jimmy's going to make All-NBA first team. So he has a legit case. I mean, Jimmy Butler this year was absolutely fucking incredible. He has a chance. I mean, a lot of people have kind of put their list together, like voters and shit. And I've seen Jimmy on a lot of first teams. It really just depends on what you do with him and Luka. And so, I mean, either first or second team, he does have an argument. Career year for him, you know, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, an all-NBA defensive season. I mean, just the fucking numbers speak for themselves. Good shooting splits, 50% from the field, which is incredible considering he's just a toilet three-point shooter. 86% from the line this season on 8 attempts, which is his third highest rate in his career. So, I mean, getting to the line at this rate as a fucking 31-year-old is incredible. I mean, he's just absolutely god tier. Thanks to Alf, by the way, for the tier one sub. We appreciate that. So it's kind of interesting, Chris. I don't know. Yeah, but before we go back to Luka, do you have anything else to add on that? Because that kind of came out of nowhere.
Sorry, to add on what?
To add to the depoy conversation before we shift gears. To the defensive teams before we shift gears.
Oh, again. The all defensive teams. Yeah, no, yeah. Honestly, I think they're pretty fair. I mean, is there anybody that you feel like is a big omission that should have been there?
No, I mean, I just think Jimmy and first team is my big thing. I think
yeah,
Jimmy.
I mean, I'm not.
I think Marcus Smart deserved it also more than, like, I would have had Marcus Smart over both Thybul and Drew Holiday. I think Marcus deserved it. I thought Marcus was that good this season. Yeah. You know, so
I mean,
something like him.
Pretty middling though, especially defensively.
Yeah, but so. Not his fault though. I mean, because like even Miami had some stretches where their defense was bad, but that was more of kind of the. I mean, really, I think the reason why Jimmy and Bam are both there is because even though their defense is eighth, I think anybody can look at the roster and say this is a team full of fucking bad defenders, and these two guys single handedly prop it up to being top 10. They're that fucking good. You know, it's like one more. You know, Chris, I'm gonna pull up their numbers when both of them sit. What their defense looks like. And by the way, their defense probably would have been better if Jimmy didn't get hurt and he was out for so long. I mean, that was obviously a huge thing. You know, when Jimmy had COVID, right? Like, so they're missing arguably their best defender. So the Heat's defense without Jimmy and Bam. So when Jimmy and Bam both sit, when they're off the floor, their defensive rating is 115. This is horrible.
Ooh, that's stinky.
Yeah. When they're, yeah. So they're good, by the way.
Now do it when they're both on.
When they're both on, it's 109.
Not great, but less stinky.
Jimmy on, Bam off, 107. That's an interesting one. So that's actually something that I've always thought was interesting. Jimmy on, Bam off, 107. Bam on, Jimmy off, 115.
Yeah, like there's a lot of there was quite a few weird things that happened this season that I'm honestly inclined to just throw this entire last season out and
doesn't
just
count.
Completely disregard it.
Doesn't count.
But I mean, it is a little curious, and I mean, I want to investigate it further before really like talking about it. But the on-off numbers have never liked Bam that much, especially since Jimmy got here, and it's probably like there's probably a lot of noise in there, but it's worth trying to figure out. And I feel like it did kind of rear its head, you know, in the series against the Bucks, because everybody knows what the Heat are going to do with Bam offensively, and whether that's Bam dictating that or the offense dictating that, like that's obviously internal and they got to figure that shit out, but they got to change it up because it's obvious and teams have built good strategies around it and it flattens the team out. And it's not becoming pretty to watch. It was working when people weren't really ready for it, but everybody's kind of figured out what they're trying to do now. And unless they add, you know, a dynamic player that can change up what they do and increase their effectiveness, especially in terms of like bending a defense and getting to the rim. No bueno, man.
Also, they need some help defensively at guard. I think the idea of kind of Tyler and Nunn and Dragic, you know, that's lived its life. Shmita Smolnik says something in chat that I really like. When Jimmy's off the floor, Bam is unfairly asked to make up everyone else's mistakes, can't fairly judge his numbers. And also remember, Bam had to play with a bunch of G Leaguers by himself.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. And another thing that I will bring to Bam's defense is that they keep. Well, I mean, they're playing a lot of switch-heavy defenses, so like if a defense really wanted to and they play Bam as the only big, they can bring him out to the perimeter. And then it's like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll chalk up a shot. It may not be great, but guess what? We're going to kill you on the boards because there's nobody else. Like, that's the issue. Is like Bam can't be in multiple places at once. If he's out on the perimeter defending, you know, an apex, you know, scorer, like, and you've got nobody bigger than him in the lineup, you have a giant liability back there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I totally appreciate that Spo likes going with a lot of guard heavy rotation. So he has a lot of ball handlers and more flexibility on offense. But like, if you want flexibility on offense, your offense can't be so fucking predictable.
See, I agree and I disagree with you. I agree in the sense of, I think their offense is predictable, and that's not Spo's fault. I think they don't have guys to get to the rim, as you said earlier. And as a result, what are you going to do, right? You run your plays. And at some point, when people know that you don't have a threat to go to the basket, you can either switch handoffs or just go way under like the Bucks did. And what do you really have to offer when you don't have an in-between game? So if Nunn's not hitting a bunch of shots, what are you doing, right? Because he's the one guy that was like, okay, I'm going to play this in-between game. I'm going to get to my pull-up. So if him and Dragic aren't doing stuff like that, because they're really the only guys, Tyler doesn't have the burst and the speed, right? Tyler's more of a finesse, kind of work the court kind of guy. And that's why he's bad against drop coverage. He's been historically bad against drop coverage. So it's tough. It's tough for them. So I agree with you in spirit, but I don't really know if it's Spo's fault. I do think that they need some help defensively. Bam switching is a product of them not having good defenders. If they had better defenders, the switching wouldn't have mattered very much because you can have bigger bodies kind of helping. And you would kind of be able to mix in a little bit more drop. Heat's baseline is switching. I think that's fine. A lot of historically good teams have done that. I like how they have the traps. I think that's been really, really good. And I think if they get some better kind of guards and you can really mix up your coverages a little better. I thought that was one thing that Miami did really well this season. They were able to kind of spring different kind of coverages, whether it be the zone, the 2-2-1 press, the traps, the switching, but even some drop.
You know why they had to deploy so many tactics like that?
All they had was tricks, man.
Yeah, because almost always they had two giant liability. Okay, let's not say giant.
Two to three.
Two liability defenders out there.
Two to three.
And in this NBA, if you want to go somewhere, you can't have more than one. So it's like, and they were consistently playing two to three.
Christian, imagine if they had like legit lineups where they could put five good defenders on the court. And you have the ability with a coach that can start springing those kind of coverages on a great ball handler. Now you're cooking. Now you're cooking with hot oil.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could argue that the Heat's run, like, I the bubble fluke stuff is the dumbest thing ever.
It's ridiculous.
But, like, inherently, they gave themselves a better chance because, I mean, frankly, Jay Crowder was massive for them defensively.
Yeah.
Because he was a huge body that was flexible. Physical. You know, physical. You know, that's something that I feel like the Heat really lacked this season. Was physicality and like not just accepting someone, you know, turning the corner on you, like, or like it,
I thought
it
Jay
doesn't help how old a lot of the players that they were relying on were, but it's frustrating to watch and they have to fix that.
A couple like, things. So I'm going to get to some stuff that people are mentioning in the chat, like Al Horford. I'm going to address that shit in a second.
That is more of the same fucking problem of what they've been doing.
No more slow people. Just
for all the equity that they built with the robbery that was the Jimmy Butler trade, they have just shat everything else away.
The Andre and the Jay move was good, and they've made some moves on the margins.
Like, yes, and that move.
Sorry. I mean, the Deadman signing was good. Ariza was really good for them.
A lot of the other stuff that they've done has been...
They turned Myers into Ariza, which was good. And kind of to your point, Chris... I think, well, remember, like, the defense this year was better than it was last season.
No,
right?
But see, Gianni, that trade I don't like because I view that as they gave away another future asset that they could use for making easy trades to acquire.
And a second-round pick.
Depressed assets. Another fucking second-round pick on a guy who ultimately didn't move the needle at all.
And he was so bad in the playoff. But, Christian, in the regular season, I thought Ariza was good for them, especially defensively.
I don't give a fuck about the regular season.
Gianni. I know. It was a bad matchup for him.
And it's just like, it's the short-sightedness of continuing to just throw, you know what future asset we are finally relinquishing this offseason? The trade to get rid of Josh McRoberts' corpse. It's these kinds of just like...
Babbitt stretch.
Throwing it at whatever the fuck you want in the
Ryan Anderson stretch.
Shit. Like, holy fuck. We're going to be haunted by these tiny, dumb decisions forever. And it does eat away at their flexibility. Yeah, it's great that they can still make moves and Riley can pull a rabbit out of a fucking hat. But why do we got to pull rabbits out of a fucking hat? Like,
eventually, you have nothing to pull out of anymore. And it's kind of what the Blazers are going through. It's what the Rockets went through, really. I mean, you saw once they moved CP for Westbrook, and then at that point, you just keep moving for a depreciating asset until you end up with John Wall and a bunch of stuff that nobody wants, right? So it can turn on you quickly. The Ryan Anderson stretch is still hurting them. That $5 million could, depending on how this offseason goes, that could cost them Duncan. If they need the extra space to do other things. So it, listen, like, they've been burned by their things. They have no second round picks. And They have not valued them. I think that if there's a fair criticism of the front office, it's just how they've really just wiped their ass with second round picks. When second round picks help you get off deals, when second round picks help you refill talent cheaply. Mm-hmm. And they've been good at drafting in the second round. I mean, really. I mean, Christian, how many picks have they really missed on since LeBron left? It's been few.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, like, I don't know how many times we have to talk about how consistently good their scouting department has been. And yes, okay, I get it. That's part of the argument, right?
Oh, don't worry. They'll find some undrafted guys and bring them in through the G League. And then before you know it, you know, they're a, you know, core rotation player.
That's fucking cool and all. But it's always easier and more likely to get a real talent if you acquire them in the draft.
Yep.
Like, or again, like
cost controlled saying, for a long time.
Exactly. Cost controlled assets are super important in team building. Like, I don't care what you say. Like, at the end of the day, he may be out of the league now, but guys like Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers played big roles on those teams because they were cost controlled guys. Like,
even guys that aren't even here anymore, like Napier, had careers in the league, legit careers. That's a hit. A second round or late first, whatever the fuck that was. I mean, they hit. I mean, say what you want about Winslow, productive player, and he's still in the league. That's a hit. It's not a star. It's a hit. And he helped you, and you won playoff series with him, right? So, obviously, he's not Devin Booker, right? Like, you know, we can look at it that way. But, like, rest in peace. By the way, shout out to Curtis Hero for gifting 2 tier 1 subs. One to Tez Pickett and one to our friend Clutch Adam. I think Curtis also gifted a sub to Jack, host of the Weird Elf pregame show. So shout out to Curtis. You are amazing.
By the way, Jack has been in the room in the background. By
has
the
he? Way. Oh, I don't even have it open. Hold on. Yeah,
I saw
okay.
Him like 5 minutes ago.
I had no idea. Oh my god, I didn't have the tab open. Hold on, wait. Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah, Chris, riff on cost controlled contracts. I'll let me add him in a second. Hold on. Let me.
It's just like God, it's especially frustrating that like they just keep jettisoning all these like cheap assets. Like when they do have the capability of performing a heist, like they did with the Jimmy Butler trade. It's like imagine if you focused on opportunities instead of just throwing stuff at whatever you feel like you need in the moment. Like if you're gonna make those kinds of decisions, it better pay off. Like the Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala trade, I can't talk shit about that trade because ultimately Jay Crowder almost helped them win a fucking championship. And they might have been able to do it if it wasn't for some bad injury luck. Like, but some of these other moves, man, like it was really aggravating watching that, you know, I don't think they actually give up any picks. I think they just traded off guys like Chris Silva. But like, why the fuck do you even trade for Bielitsa if you're barely going to use him? Especially after trading Kelly Olynyk, like I thought that's what you're going to do. No, you're just going to rely even more on these older dudes that are too small and like don't put up any kind of a fight. Like, fuck.
Well, he wasn't good. He straight up wasn't good. We welcome in host of the Weird Al pregame show, Jack Alfonso. What's up, Jack?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I was not impressed with Drew. Yeah, I didn't think Drew deserved it. I'm with you. I don't think Drew deserved it at all. I think there were a lot of better kind of people that could have been on. I wouldn't put Fred on. I mean he was good, but I thought if there was a Raptor, it would have been OG. Oh, there's no audio. So Jack has no audio. Okay, so you were just talking and there's no audio. There was just awkward silence. Okay, so while I fix Jack's audio, listen, I'm producing on the fly here. Jack,
nobody heard any of that?
Nobody heard anything of Jack. So there was just
a huge bummer.
There was just this awkward silence for Jack that had no audio. Christian, do you wanna act like Jack? Do you wanna like say what Jack said?
I don't do impersonations. I always end up looking like a Jack ass.
I don't even know what cam I assigned to Jack. I fucked something up. Okay, that's Christian's camera. Okay.
Hey.
But yeah, so I mean Jack was kind of talking.
Yeah, we're already in off season mode.
Yeah, I mean listen. Okay, here we go. I totally fucked up. Let me okay. I totally ruined Jack's camera. That is really funny. But yeah, Jack was kind of talking about how I think.
But Jack, can they hear him now?
I think Jack, they could probably hear you now. Jack, say something.
Say something.
Okay, I think we lost Jack. Okay.
Did we really lose?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're doing splendid here. So Curtis's hero says someone do interpretive dance. Yeah, no, I could. Brian M, I know what's wrong. There's a lot wrong right now. I was juggling a lot of things. I fucked something up. Christian, can you filibuster for 2 minutes while I fix this?
I can definitely filibuster.
Talk about Luca.
I can't dance because I'm not wearing pants. But I believe that
we will win.
We should replace all of our, you know, I guess now all that Giannis energy that we didn't, we don't really know where to send it now. It's like, oh, I want Kawhi. Oh, I want this. I want that. You know, Giannis was like a big shiny target. He literally won MVP. People were like, oh, you know, he doesn't really like Milwaukee. Like, everyone's looking for that big thing. And I'm like, Luka, ooh, he's like the biggest one since LeBron. And guess who got LeBron? So this is why I think if you want to invest in anything right now, like buy the stock while it's real cheap, is, you know, buy the Luka to Miami. Because one, you know, you could capitalize and sell a bunch of merch if you really want to and prey on people's hopes and desires, you know, and, you know, you have fun in the process because people don't really care about basketball, right? They care about the transactions. They care about the, you know, the intrigue of, ooh, how many picks is it going to take? Ooh, no, but this team has better assets. Ooh, but what if they don't think those assets are better? Like, that's what people love to talk about. It's the best, you know? So I am all for pushing the Luka to Miami agenda, because ultimately the city needs it. And more importantly, Luka needs it because, again, and I will, like, for anybody that may be listening, you know, on YouTube after the show or on the pod stream, I present to you a challenge. Make a sales pitch for Dallas because it doesn't fucking exist. And if you can bring me a good one, I will share it with the world because you truly did the impossible.
Jack, your audio works now.
It does.
Yeah.
Can they hear me?
They can sure hear you.
Well, with Dallas, I mean, I lived in Dallas for 10 years.
You should know firsthand. Okay.
There's no sales pitch for garbage. It's a garbage city. You don't want to live there.
Yes, I knew it.
It's a bunch of finance fuckers and then Whataburger.
Whataburger's good though.
You're good. I'll fix that.
Am I not green?
No, I'll fix that. I'll fix that.
I like that.
Yeah, I'll fix that.
I kind of like it.
I'll fix that. Don't worry. Just keep talking. Just keep talking.
No, I mean, I think Luka to Miami would be really fun. I think you got to keep Goron around. I think I said in the chat today that I just want them to give Goron the Udonis deal just to piss Nikias off, just to keep adding players who cannot play in NBA games just to the roster for morale until there are like five players who can actually step on the floor. And the rest of them are just culture guys. Like, just 50-year-olds.
Okay, they're going to bring anybody back. They do not have a bench.
Chat saying you're in the Matrix. Curtis is here, says Weird Alf on Planet Namek.
He looks like he was eaten by Flubber.
I just texted Brian M to give me the video codec to fix this.
No,
what if this is better though?
I like this. You want to ride this way? We'll just ride this way,
dude. This looks like an album.
Yeah, man. I like it. No, yeah,
Jack, look.
I like this.
Looking that way, yeah. Maybe like tilt your head up a bit, and that's a fucking album shot.
Yeah, no, like. I fuck with this. I love this. This is
that was kind of my Matrix impression.
No, that was great. Yeah. Okay.
How's my mic level? Somebody said my mic.
I fixed it. Yeah. No, I
Cuban's fixed. Not a good owner. I'm sorry, but like two of the biggest, there's this pretty big indictment on his ownership with this Hera LaBob bullshit. But then, I mean, you can get off the court with some of the criticisms of Cuban, probably the biggest scandal since Donald Sterling was the Dallas Mavericks just basically fostering a bunch of, you know, like a hostile work environment for female reporters. Like, it's not a good organization. I know that's not really the on-court product there, but I don't know. Like, I like Mark Cuban theoretically. He's a Hoosier. Love Hoosiers.
You
love
and the
Dallas.
Fucking Hoosiers.
So I guess theoretically I like him, but he is garbage at his job. I'm sorry. He's just not. And he kind of pulled like a Loria after 2011. I think he did the shittiest thing that you can do as the owner of a team that just won the championship is just sell off all your good guys, right? I think trading Tyson Chandler after that, after winning the fucking championship, right before he's about to be defensive player of the year, I think that's BS. I don't think he's a very good owner. I think he does some things very well, but like, he has a lot of weaknesses. And when Rick Carlisle leaves, and I think there was a report today, I don't know how reliable, that he might be eyeing the Bucks job.
Carlisle?
I think as soon as if Carlisle ever leaves, I think they're screwed. I'm sorry. I think Carlisle like lifts up that franchise because they haven't managed anything well. I'm sorry. Luka fell into their lap, and that's pretty and that's nice. But name me one other move that they made that's just halfway decent. The Porzingis trade is a disaster.
Oh, awful.
I'm sorry.
Awful.
One of the worst moves. It's a devastating move that is honestly, if Luka leaves Dallas, that's going to be that's going to be a big reason why. They just don't have players around him. And I'm like, they just haven't made good moves. And they've set themselves up for success in some regard. Like, they had an immense amount of cap space going into 2019, and they came away with like Seth Curry and a bunch of scrubs. I'm sorry, if the best player you get with an MVP level player, like a 23-year-old MVP level player in like two max slots is Seth Curry, who is a great player, then you're not good at your job. I'm sorry. Like, you can argue about like, oh, well, players only want to go to LA and players only want to go to Miami, but Dallas is a huge market. And I'm sorry, I know we're joking about how you can't sell it, but if you can't sell teaming up with an MVP level player, one of the best talents we've seen probably since LeBron, and like an insane passer too, who's going to make the people around him better, I'm sorry, you suck. And like, as a personality owner, shouldn't like one of the things you do well be selling people on stuff? Like, he's a celebrity. He should be able to like get dinners with these big stars, but everybody hates him. I mean, what was the whole Clippers situation with DeAndre Jordan? That was their big coup. Like, of the Mavs franchise was DeAndre Jordan. And then even that, like, a debacle,
yeah,
an embarrassment, and it didn't happen. So, garbage franchise. Luka deserves better. I don't particularly like watching his game. I think he's kind of a whiner, but obviously having the two Slovenian
whiner.
Kings in my, he's a good whiner, and I'm okay with that. I think Jimmy would toughen him up a little bit. And I do think the two Slovenian Kings would run Miami, and the city would never be the same.
I mean, listen, Christian, Luca. Luca. Luca.